get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 2 Timothy, where we will find encouragement to continue in our faith during difficult times. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today.
So it's good to know that we are saved by the will of God and that our promise of life in Christ Jesus is eternal life and that it's found in Christ alone. So 2 Timothy, verse 2, my beloved son, notice these three words, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. What is grace? Well, grace is unmerited favor, right? It's unmerited favor that results in what? God's mercy. God's forgiveness. And mercy, brothers and sisters, think about this for a second. Chew on this truth. Mercy, as Paul presents it here, following on the heels of grace, is really deliverance from sin's consequences. Think about that. That's why I learned a long time ago in my Christian life not to say to the Lord, that's not fair. Because I learned that I don't want God to be fair with me. I don't want Him to give me what I deserve. See, that's fairness. You get what you deserve. I don't want that. I want instead God's mercy. I want what God wants to give me. Because what He wants to give you, brothers and sisters, is so much better than what you can imagine. So His grace, His mercy, and those things result in peace. Do they not? When the grace of God is ours, when we know His grace, when we've experienced His mercy, His forgiveness, then we truly know peace. And that is such a precious commodity, don't you think? I work with so many people whose lives are in turmoil. They are just a wreck. And they don't know that the answer is Jesus Christ. Call out to Him. Confess your sin, and He is faithful and righteous to forgive you your sin. He calls people into a saving relationship with Himself. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. And those are the unfathomable riches bestowed on us through faith, brothers and sisters. Grace, mercy, and peace. I thank God, verse 3, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Okay, let's unpack this. I thank God, first of all, he says, for Timothy. And that's the second part. You see that in verse 4. I thank God, and he gets this little parenthesis or side thought, but I thank God, verse 4, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. But in the meantime, he's thinking about thanking God, and he says, you know what? This God whom I thank, I serve with a clear conscience. Now, that's an important concept biblically. If you're a note taker, Bible student, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, you can write that down.
Paul wrote to the Corinthians these words. He said, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially toward you." What is the conscience, biblically speaking? Well, someone has described the conscience as the soul reflecting on itself. The soul, or the conscience, is like a skylight, if you will, letting the light in. It's not a lamp, but more of a skylight. It's a window, if you will, into your soul. Now, the reason that I describe it that way is because the conscience, it can lie to you. It can be perverted. It can be fooled. Now, we read about this, if you want to turn back to the last book, 1 Timothy chapter 4, just a couple of pages. Look at this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Notice what Paul says to Timothy in his earlier letter. The Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Folks, we're living in those days. Verse 2, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, what? Seared in their own conscience. You see that your conscience, you really can't say, yeah, well, and I know it's a proverb, let your conscience be your guide. No. Not for the believer. For the believer, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you into error, brothers and sisters. Your conscience will. Now, our culture tries to mask this whole thing, and I've mentioned this before. It's a good illustration, especially in our popular music today. They always talk about the heart. Follow your heart. Listen to your heart. Your heart will never lie. Wrong answer. Your heart will lie to you in a New York second. The Scripture says a heart is deceitful above all things. Who can trust it? You can't go on emotions, brothers and sisters. If you start operating on your emotions, you're going to be in trouble or in a real hurry. You've got to operate on what you know. The Scripture says that we are to grow in what? The grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it didn't say grow in the grace and emotions and feelings. Well, how am I feeling today? How many of you have ever gotten up in the morning and thought, I really don't feel saved today? Nobody wants to admit that? Okay, I will. It's like, Lord, where are you today? What's going on? What's all this static in the background? What's this struggle? Why am I feeling so low today, Lord? Don't trust your conscience. But Paul says, my conscience is clear. You know why? Because he was being led by the Holy Spirit. How many times in Paul's letters, as we've worked through these things in the last couple of years, has he talked about walking by the Spirit, living under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit? I don't understand how Christians who don't teach on the power and the anointing and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I don't know how they get by. Because it's like, well, if you don't have that whole section of script, you got to rip so much out. If you don't teach on that, if you don't point people to the Holy Spirit, then all they're left with is their own efforts. I can tell you, that's exhausting. So he says, I have a clear conscience the way my forefathers did. Now, I don't know if Paul's appealing to, like, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, the whole litany. But he says, I thank God as I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. How many times have we said that we need to be praying for each other and thanking God for bringing us together as a family? Do you thank God for your brethren? That's the question you should ask from that verse. Do you thank God when you're praying for your brothers? And thank you for my brother Scott and the gifts that God has given him that he brings to the party. Thank you for my sister Sherry and for the gifts that you've given her that she brings to our corporate life together. You see, the Christian life, the body of Christ, the church, every time we get together, it's like a big potluck. We all bring something to contribute. Those are the gifts that God gives each of us. So constantly remember you in my prayers day and night, longing to see you even as I recall your tears. I think that's probably an allusion to Paul laying hands, which he'll say in verse 6, praying for Timothy as he left him there in Ephesus to minister. So that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful, verse 5, of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. Families are meant to nourish the faith. There's the takeaway from there, brothers and sisters. And are you doing that? Are you doing that with your children? And listen, your children are always your children. You know that. And some of you with little children are saying, really? They do not ever not be your children. And I don't care if they're living in another state. You still remember them with thanksgiving and pray for them constantly. For this reason, verse 6, for what reason? For the sincere faith that Paul attributed to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you, and here's an exhortation, to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What is he talking about? Kindle afresh. Was it waning? How many of you will admit that, yeah, you know what? Sometimes I struggle. That my faith seems sometimes weak. How many of you know that you have a participatory role in kindling, building up, fanning the flames of your faith? What do you mean? I can't just live and breathe and walk around and then God's going to just dump it on me? No. Not at all. In fact, if you look at, here's one for you, Romans chapter 12. Listen to this. Paul says, starting at verse 9 down through verse 12, let love be without hypocrisy. Does that demand action? To love without being a hypocrite? Abhor what is evil. Well, how do you do that if you don't make conscious choices and decisions? Cling to what is good. That's action, isn't it? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Doesn't that take effort? Give preference to one another in honor. That talks about choices, doesn't it? And then notice in verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You see all those action verbs there? Keeping your faith fresh and alive and burning, you have a role to play. You're a participant in that. For God, verse 7, has not given us, you see that past tense? He has not given us a spirit of timidity, or of fear, some of your translations may say. But, or instead of fear, God has given us, notice these things, power, love, and discipline. And notice that he has already given them. What are you talking about, Mike? Well, note takers, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, you go back and read that. But in that passage, Paul talks about the same power that resurrected Christ from the grave is yours indwelling you by the Holy Spirit. That same power. Now think about that, brothers and sisters. The next time you're tempted to say, well, the devil made me do it. Really? Does he have the power to overcome the God-man, the person who has the Holy Spirit living in them? Can our enemy overcome that? No. Paul said elsewhere, greater is he who is in me than he. And what was he talking about there? Our enemy, that roaring lion. He can't overcome me, the God-man. He can't do that. God is in me. He does overcome you, though, when? When you let him. When you let him. And I know that's not popular. People don't want to own up to their responsibility. They want to think, well, I didn't have a choice. Yeah, you've always got a choice. The power of sin, Paul says in Romans, has been what? Broken. Sin shall no longer have power over you. And so our power, this same power that raised Christ from the dead, is ours. And then love. Paul says in Romans 5:5, what? For the love of Christ has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What does that say to us when we say, well, we can't love somebody? Well, it's just impossible to love them. They make it so difficult. Listen, loving people doesn't depend on how they act. Well, man, you're taking all my options away. No, that's how it's written. God's taking all your wiggle room away. You must love. It's not optional. I didn't say you have to like somebody's behavior, and it's okay to point that out. In fact, I pointed out some behavior this morning. Kathy says, I can't believe you said that. She says, I can't believe you're going to share this illustration now. We stopped for our morning coffee. I'm not going to say where. I had two people that came up and they were going to cut the line. I'm standing there waiting. And I said, oh, no, you're not. I said it to myself. I didn't say that out loud. I said. And they kept inching up and inching up and inching up and inching up. And I said, excuse me, we're next. Yes, I know, we were just looking. I said, well, I just wanted to make sure you were aware that we're next. Not quite with that amount of sarcasm, but same words. That was almost a quote. And listen, I was justified too, because when the clerk came back to wait, she looked at the ladies and said, can I help you? And they said, he's next. I said, see, I told you. They were past the line. They were... But I did it lovingly. Of power and love and, notice, discipline. Some of your translations may say sound mind. of a sound mind. Now, don't you think that's curious that this word for discipline would mean or could be interpreted sound mind? I found that very interesting. So I did a little bit of looking up in resources, and here's what one commentator said about this word discipline or sound mind. He said it has the literal meaning of a secure and sound mind, but it also carries the additional idea of a self-controlled, disciplined, and properly prioritized mind. It allows people to experience success without becoming proud and to suffer failure without becoming bitter. The disciplined life is the divinely ordered life in which godly wisdom is applied to every situation, end quote. And I thought, that is a good concept to wrap your mind around. The disciplined life is a disciplined mind. Why is that important, brothers and sisters? Where does any behavior or action or word out of your mouth originate? Right here. Yeah. That's why I say a lot. I don't always observe it, but I say a lot. Observe the 5-second rule. What's the 5-second rule? The 5-second rule is just because you're thinking it doesn't mean it has to come out. Just count to five and say, do I really need to say this? Kathy says, yeah, you should exercise that this morning, Mike. Pastor. No, she didn't say that. Yet. Why do they think you'd say that, honey? No idea? I would have been the first one back there saying, how was your coffee? Power, love, and discipline, or a sound mind. Therefore, what's therefore, therefore? Because of everything else he's just said. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. So because you have this power, because the love of God has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit, and because you have a disciplined or sound mind, do not be ashamed of the gospel. And that's what it means, the testimony of our Lord. That's the gospel. And then Paul says, notice how he phrases this, or of me, his prisoner. Paul looked on his imprisonment not as the doing of Rome, but as God's doing. Have you ever thought about your trials and tribulations in that context? Well, this wasn't my employer. My boss didn't do this to me. God has brought this, and he wants to teach me something. Now, I know that is a foreign concept to a lot of people today. Oh, I can't believe God would do that. Listen, God will use any opportunity to draw you closer to him and use it as a teaching moment. In the least, you have to admit that God permits. Nothing escapes his notice, right? And besides that, Paul told us in Romans chapter 8, what? That God uses all things for good for those who love him. Now, so he may not cause something, but he'll allow it, and he'll use that then for what? Your good. Everything's a teaching moment with the Lord.
I want to get lost in you, so anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word Radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.cclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word Radio Ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, PastorMike@cclohio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.